Happy Thursday, everybody. We're over the hump on the Colleen and Bradley show on my feels good, doesn't it? The Colleen and Bradley show on My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hello.
I have something I need to report to you, Bradley Trainer.
Oh, what's that?
The new Netflix trailer for the Demi Lovato documentary, Demi Lovato Dancing with the Devil, worked on me.
I mean, tell me why.
Okay,
make the case, because it is everywhere.
Okay, did you watch it yet? Have you watched the
trailer? I have not watched it yet, but I want you to make your best case for why your mind was changed.
Okay, so I will. So, I mean, okay.
Not that it was changed.
It wasn't changed as much as it was like, I was sort of neutral, and now I'm all about wanting to watch this documentary, which, by the way, they just premiered the trailer yesterday, and this is coming up on Netflix. Oh, darn it. I don't have the date that it's going to drop.
It's on YouTube.
Oh, it's on YouTube?
Yeah.
YouTube.
Why did it go to Netflix? Oh, yeah, you're right. YouTube. They premiered the trailer, and anyway. So Demi Lovato, as we all know, has had a rough few years. And she's actually at the helm of this documentary, Demi Lovato Dancing with the Devil. And in the trailer for the documentary, you see a lot of on-camera interviews with Demi Lovato, but also with people who I would imagine are part of her entourage, right? Like, they weren't necessarily people I recognized, or maybe I recognized them, like I got a whiff of who they might be, but I couldn't put my finger on them. None of them were as big of a deal as Demi Lovato. But it really starts with her saying the following words: I'm just going to tell you everything, and then we can go back and decide if we want to put it all in there. Which to me says, this is a woman who is ready to not be held prisoner by her story.
Mm-hmm.
And that she's not going to sanitize the telling of the story. Now, what I don't know from the trailer is, what did they decide to go back and cut out? But then you see, spliced in with other sort of B-roll of her backstage at a concert or on stage at a concert, or interviews with her parents. But then there's these interviews with her friends, and they start to talk about the night she OD'd and frankly almost died. We are going to get kind of an unvarnished version of what actually happened in a way that we haven't heard it before. What happened that night, and then what happened following that.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is she talks about her addiction, and you can hear that in the trailer. She's going to be talking about her addiction. And she says something along the lines of, and then it was like past the point of no return. I got into some stuff. And one of the people who's being interviewed, one of the people in her entourage, says, are we going to talk about the heroin? And so clearly you can tell that even the people who are being interviewed about Demi Lovato aren't sure how much we're telling of this story, but it's going to go there. It's going to go all the way there and tell you, she talks about what happened when she was in the hospital, just how very near death she was. She talks about the fact that she still struggles from the after effects of having 3 strokes and a heart attack while she was in the hospital after this overdose. And she says in the story or in the trailer, I'm holding myself accountable. She says, I learned a lot from my past. I was sober for 6 years. I learned so much from that journey. And that's the main thing I learned, was coming forward and talking about my story held me accountable. There is, they do all the trailer tricks, though, where, like, they ask a question and then there's sort of a reaction, but not the answer to the question. So there was a question at one point, are you sober now? And you don't see the answer to that.
Yeah.
So they do the thing that's going to pull you
in. Well, this is entertainment. This is not just like, let me give you the unvarnished truth.
Right.
No, this is going to be crafted as a story. And very likely, I mean, it kind of reminds me of the Taylor Swift documentary. Like, you know, you have to have a certain suspension of disbelief to go into a project like this because you do realize that she's the one in charge of the experience, right? Like, so whatever narrative she wants to put out there, albeit, you know, from her perspective, the narrative, like, I'm not here saying she's like gonna sit in front of the camera, nor, you know, did Taylor Swift or anybody else who's done a documentary like this necessarily lie to the camera, but you do go into it understanding that this is the story they want you to hear.
Right.
And I imagine, by all accounts, and from what you're telling me, that this is going to be a fascinating, introspective look into a part of her life. And if, you know, if you're a fan of Demi Lovato, and a lot of people are, or at least are curious about her story because of the drama that they've seen in headlines over the last, you know, few years, but specifically the last year, I mean, it'll draw some eyeballs.
I will say one of the other things, and this is a thing that we were very fascinated by on the Colleen and Bradley show, was her engagement to Max Arich. That will be talked about in the documentary as well.
I mean, so, it'd be a little weird, right? Like, if, like, hey, the story that we were trying to pay attention to this year, if she didn't go there at all.
I will say, though, it's not clear to what extent she'll actually talk about that, because all you see in the trailer, because when they were doing this documentary, when they were filming this documentary, she got engaged during that time. Mm-hmm. So you see during an on-camera interview with Demi Lovato, you see her with the ring on her finger go, I'm engaged. And then cut to another interview where she shows her hand again, no ring on the finger. And she goes, wah. But that's all you get, at least in the trailer.
Yeah.
So that leaves me wondering, are we going to actually, because if I'm being honest, like, I want to hear all of the story, but that is a story that I want to hear about. I want to hear her version of events as it was happening. Like, what was it about this guy? And at what point did she realize that she was literally being taken for a ride?
Yeah. And you know, I could see her offering that story up. I mean, if she's got a certain amount of distance from it and she feels good about the place that she's in. But also, it depends on, like, what her relationship is with that person now. Right. Like, so that would determine how she's going to portray that out in the public. And ultimately, again, it's, you're going to walk away knowing what she wants you to know about it.
Right.
That's, you're not going to hear from Max Arich. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing per se. It's just that that's, you know, that's the perspective we'll have.
Yeah.
So it's on YouTube. It comes out when?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, because I'm not seeing it easily in this article. And I can't remember. I'm sure at the very end it tells you when you can see it. Only on YouTube. March. It's not until March.
Okay. Well, that's, yeah, that's just
March
around the
corner. 22nd, I think.
March 23rd. The thing that I'm, the part that would interest me is listening to her talk about her own recovery journey and what that was like, and having to deal with being in the public spotlight. You know, it'll be interesting to see how much of that curtain she peels back, because that's not an experience everybody lives through. But the addiction part is something a lot of people can relate to.
Absolutely. And I do get the impression that she is going to be very open about that piece of the, because really, like, the focal point of this is that overdose in 2018. But around that overdose, she talks about her struggles with addiction and what that looked like for her in real life, and what recovery looked like as well.
The one caveat I would make, or concern I would have, is, like, this is like 5 seconds after she's dealt with some pretty significant demons. And I will tell you, as a person who, you know, got sober, like, I don't know if I had a huge perspective on what happened 5 minutes after it happened. I don't know that I have that much more of a perspective now, but certainly with time comes some awareness. And, you know, like, but again, you take it for what it is. She's a pop star. She's a celebrity. She has music that she wants to sell. This is presumably going to head us down a path of her next project.
Well, and I was also going to say, just be ready the next few, I don't know, weeks leading up to March 23rd. We're going to get dribs and drabs of other things that we're going to learn in this docuseries. I mean, she's going to be making the rounds.
Yeah, for sure.
Is what I'm going to be saying. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be hearing more about Demi Lovato's story in different ways in the weeks leading up. This is just the first kind of debut of that documentary and we'll see in that.
Yeah.
When we return on the Colleen and Bradley Show, we are going to get all the dirt straight from Hollywood from our friend Elizabeth Reese. It's a dirt alert after this on My Talk 107.1.
Here's a My Talk dirt alert.
The one and only Elizabeth Reese has arrived, and with her, she's brought so much dirt. It's the dirt alert. Hi, Elizabeth.
That came up quick, that little punch, punch, punch noise. I thought, here we go. We're ready for it.
We're doing it, man.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. Boy, when you are super rich and super hot, companies like to send you really expensive stuff.
Oh, I know.
Trust me.
Kendall Jenner and Devin Booker got quite the gift from Louis Vuitton. An over-the-top clear monogrammed box with, of course, all of the Louis Vuitton, you know, symbol all over it, filled with white roses and his and hers fragrances from the French luxury label.
This is dumb. Just because they got are dating?
Perfume samples?
Yeah, that's what they got, because then they show it off on their Instagram stories.
I guess you can't do them in the mall anymore, where you just walk by and squirt.
Oh, boy. You either love that or you hate it.
I hate it.
Steve Patterson loves it. I know you're not surprised. I can't handle it.
Of course he does. He's a walking squirt.
Yeah, when people are like aiming the spray at you, I don't like it. I think they've shied away from that. There's a lot of places you're not even allowed to wear perfume. Like a lot of churches say, no, thank you for coming to praise Jesus, but we don't want your over-the-top scent in this
Jesus
sanctuary.
But Jesus doesn't want to smell you.
Because we're here to be loving neighbors to each other, and that includes taking care of their allergies and their noses.
I will say, I feel like the current way to do it is you spray it on a card, and then you hand them the card.
And then you wave the card around, and then you determine, I could use a nice scent, but it's sort of like I just... Steve is so obsessed with having like 7 to 8 squirts of cologne on.
How do you deal with that?
I tell him no. You should have seen the day that he sprayed Axe body spray shared closet space. Okay. And you guys know how small that shared closet. I mean, it's wonderful to have a closet at work, but it's still a closet. It's small. Yeah. And he sprayed Axe body spray. And it was, I think, the only time I've like really lost it on him. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, bless his heart.
I know.
He probably doesn't do that anymore.
No, he doesn't.
You know, I just want... Yes, I was just going to say, like, if we could get him from, like, just even to go from 7 to 1.
I find it so interesting that, like, a modern man on the go is, like, you know, like, cologne is a thing. I can't remember the last time
I thought of cologne. My husband always puts cologne on, but he doesn't do that many sprays.
I feel like it's the culture that has made us a little more cologne suspicious.
True. Yeah.
Right?
Well,
I used to wear perfume, but I don't anymore.
Oh, I used to, like, bathe in cologne. I mean, there was always a bottle of Obsession on the back of my toilet.
Yeah.
You know.
Obsession. I used to spray for Calvin Klein at Herberger's, R.I.P. Yeah, it was like a part-time job when I was in high school or college. I made killer money, and I just had to stand there and offer to spray, like, CK1. And then I would rearrange the bottles all the time because I had nobody... Nobody would go there. Why the store closed?
Right.
I think, but
I love the way you said that. It sounded so important. Like I used to spray for a Calvin Klein.
Yeah,
it was like you worked directly under Calvin.
Calvin. It was Calvin, and then it was me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
of
was
course.
It. Princess Eugenie, after her C-section due to her scoliosis surgery, is doing really well. So she had a little bit of a complicated birth, but her baby boy is a complete dream. They just had their baby on February 9th, and she had a previous spinal surgery for scoliosis, so then they knew that she had to have a C-section. Do they still do scoliosis checks in schools?
I don't know. That's a good question.
They do lice checks.
That's a good thing. I mean, obviously, some people aren't going to school, but I remember having to, like, line up and have someone, I think they had, like, a ruler or something on your back.
They had, like, a yardstick, and you had to bend over, and they would put the yardstick on your back to see if you... And I will tell you, also, like, I have a very close friend who that's the thing that alerted her parents to her scoliosis.
Yes.
And she's had numerous surgeries.
Boy.
Wow. Yeah.
They've got to still do that. I would love a note. Somebody could send us a note to see.
Do they do scoliosis checks?
Do they? I mean, she's the princess has dealt with severe scoliosis for most of her life and had corrective surgery at age 12. And so she knew she was going to have a C-section. But I didn't realize that that was a sort of a side effect that you... But I guess it makes sense.
Yeah,
if there's something wrong with your spine.
It probably is unique to whatever her...
I bruised my tailbone giving birth one time.
Oh, FYI. I can't even talk about all the things I bruised giving birth.
It was
like it. We don't have enough time.
We don't have enough time.
No, we totally do. Let's hear.
You
want to
hear? Okay.
Yeah, all of them.
So, do you want to? Should I start with tearing or what?
Sure. Yeah, start? No, I'm all here for tearing.
There's so many things that they
tear
don't
it up,
tell
Colleen.
You that they don't. Oh, I am trying to prepare our young producers for childbirth on Twin Cities Live.
Oh God!
Do you bring
pictures?
This is consensual, and they ask the questions. I just want you to know it's not inappropriate work talk, but they want to like they're like this is stuff that people don't tell you. And so then I tell them.
Yeah, there's a reason they don't tell you because you wouldn't do it.
I was really of the opinion that it was good to get, you know, to roll on in there with the least amount of information possible.
My daughter, my six-year-old, said the other day I was driving home and she said, Mama, I don't want to have a baby because I don't want to get a shot in the back.
Well,
the shot in the back is the best part of the whole thing.
Let me tell you the future of that discussion.
The fact that she knows that exists is kind of awesome.
Let me tell you the future of that discussion is when you get to the part where you explain how the baby gets there in the first place.
Yeah.
And then you get the, oh, I'm never doing that. And then you have to have the conversation of like, well, yes, I know it sounds kind of gross right now, but there will be a time where you might want to do that and not just because of babies.
Yeah. That's a whole.
Oh, let me tell you. That's
a whole.
You know what, Elizabeth? If you want any guidance on that journey, you can come to me.
A lot of listeners would like to let you know that they do scoliosis checks during child visits.
Oh, so they don't do them in school, though?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they do them at the doctor's office.
Yeah, at the doctor, but I was wondering if they had you line up in school, which is what you used to do.
Oh, boy. The other thing they used to make you do in school, They would weigh you.
Do your homework?
Oh, yeah.
No, they would weigh you in front of the class.
Well, and then got the swimsuit situation where you did swimming. Oh. When I talked about this on Twin Cities Live, that swimming in middle school was the single most traumatizing event of my youth.
I went to a public swimming school, so we didn't have to swim.
I went to a public suburban school, and we had to swim. That was the punishment that we had for the pleasant life in the suburbs, Colleen. And then I heard stories from other people who were telling me that when they were in school and they would be in swimming, they would give the girls color-coded swimsuits by size.
No, thank you.
So, if you were the smallest, you'd get a blue suit.
No.
And then if you were, the biggest and the most developed, you'd get a green suit.
That is the worst.
Can you even imagine?
No.
That is the worst. That is terrible.
We have an episode of Give Me a Break We'd Like You to Watch.
Oh, yeah.
To tell you how bad it used to be.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Where
Trust us.
Nell joined a Fat Fighters Club. No. And they had a song that they sang called You're a Disgusting Fatso.
Oh, my
And people were laughing
But remember,
hilariously.
The name of the group was Fatso.
No, it was Porco.
Porco, that's right. Sorry.
I can't, even if I don't laugh, I'll cry.
No, yeah. I know. Welcome to the 80s when we were just terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah. Fatso is a movie starring Dom DeLuise.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh. Holly always comes
terrible.
In. She always comes in for the win.
Yep.
Rachel Ray saying that she's going to get to move back into her New York home, which is being rebuilt after that fire, that devastating fire in August.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm sorry. Whenever we have a moment to reflect on the passage of time... It feels like that just happened.
It was 6 months ago.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so they've got a good deal. They're living in a guest house on the property, but I mean, still it's her house that burned down and it was scary. And so anyway, they're getting to move in. It's not going to be done till the end of 2021. So they'll have some time left.
Whew.
I know.
It's been a rough year.
And I don't know what's going on with Claire Crawley and Dale Moss.
Yeah, they're back together.
They're hanging out, and then Claire's mad at trolls who are telling her to give it up already. She's got a new haircut. Guys, I don't know what to tell you.
No,
that's what
I have. Elizabeth, you've told us what you can, and that was more than enough. Thank you, Elizabeth
and
Reese.
And we got the skinny on scoliosis.
Right? We covered a lot of topics today.
Yeah, and childbirth. I mean, what could you want? Thanks, Elizabeth. Hey, we need somebody to play the 30-second pop culture challenge, 651-641-1071. After this on My Talk 107.1. give you 30 seconds to answer 5 pop culture questions. We do it every day at 12:30 right here on the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1. Streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
Holly Roberts is getting it over there. Yes, and it's time for our 30-second pop culture challenge.
30-second pop culture challenge.
Who is on the phone today, Colleen?
Who's on the phone today, Holly?
It's Julie.
We've got Julie on the line, and what is Julie playing for?
Julie is playing for this.
She's playing for an at-home screening of the movie Land, starring Robin Wright.
All right, Julie, you ready to play the 30-second pop culture challenge?
I'm ready.
Fabulous. Timer will begin after I ask the first question. Here we go. Dolly Parton is from what state?
Tennessee.
Scorpion and Sub-Zero are characters from what video game series?
I don't know. Pass.
Free Willy is a movie about what kind of animal?
A dolphin?
No.
A whale?
Yep.
Whale.
Bono is the lead singer of what band?
Yeah, keep going to the next one.
Okay. Carol and Mike are the parents on what sitcom?
The Brady Bunch.
Scorpion and Sub-Zero are characters from...
I'm sorry you did not win the 30-second pop culture challenge. However, you can try again tomorrow because we do it every day on the Colleen and Bradley Show at 12:30 on My Talk 107.1. Let's go back and answer the questions that Julie did not get.
Scorpion and Sub-Zero are characters from what video game series?
Mortal Kombat.
And Carol and Mike Brady. Oh, wait. She did not get Bono. Bono's the lead singer of?
You two.
And Carol and Mike are the parents on what sitcom?
The Brady Bunch. Dun, dun, dun. And now that we've answered all those questions, we can move on to solve some mysteries. And we do that in the form of blind items, which Holly's brought for us in this segment we call Blinded by the Item.
Blinded by the Item. Sometimes you just gotta slap the buttons.
That's
to
what
get
she
them going.
Said.
Mm-hmm. Here's our first celebrity gossip mystery. Try to solve this, Colleen and Bradley. The conversation went something like, quote, I made you who you are. You will do this for me. The next thing you know, the offspring of the permanent A-list singer is the face of a company.
Oh my gosh. Kendall Jenner and Kris Jenner.
No.
Oh. Singer?
Singer.
Oh, singer. Sorry.
So the offspring of the singer is the face of a company because good old parents said...
Oh, it's Madonna, Lourdes, and Marc Jacob.
Good job. Yes.
So, NT Lawyer says the conversation went something like, I made you who you are, Marc Jacobs. I am Madonna, and you will do this for me. So the next thing you know, Lourdes Leone, Madonna's daughter, is the face of Marc Jacobs' spring summer campaign.
Okay. Yep, that makes more sense.
What do you mean?
Well, in my mind, in the reading, in the original reading of this, it was the parent saying that to the child, I made you what you are.
Oh. So
you
Yeah. Well,
so I was like, whoa, that's rude.
One of your fans.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, this was not a mommy dearest.
No, no. But what the blind item is saying is that Madonna basically threatened Marc Jacobs and pressured him into making Lourdes Leone his spring-summer model.
And she's beautiful.
She is. This isn't the first time we've had a story similar to this, right? Like, we've heard there was another story about, maybe it was... Cindy Crawford intervening in a project for Kaya Gerber at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
anyway,
be surprised.
It tickles my brain a little bit, but I don't have all the facts, which is not going to stop me from talking.
Celebrity nepotism.
Ever.
Blinded by the Idol.
Here's another celebrity gossip mystery for you to solve. NT Lawyer thinks there might actually be a happily ever after for the former reality star all of you know. She really likes the fact that she doesn't feel pressure to have sex with her boyfriend, and NT Lawyer's not sure if they've ever even tried.
Oh.
Have sex?
Yeah.
Former?
Former reality star. Oh! Paris Hilton?
Interesting.
Oh. I'm not sure they've ever even tried
to have sex.
Well, I mean, I know, but like usually you can succeed with that pretty easily.
Maybe you don't want to.
Yeah, unless you don't feel like it.
Yeah, so anti-lawyer thinks there might actually be
interesting
a happily ever after for Paris Hilton, because Paris Hilton really likes the fact that she doesn't feel pressure to have sex with her boyfriend, and anti-lawyer's not even sure if Paris Hilton and her guy have even tried.
Well, she's certainly had a lot of relationships, so it wouldn't surprise me that she's like, you know, I'm just going to hang out with someone I like, and I don't really care about the sex.
Mm-hmm. Good for Paris.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Blinded by the item.
Another celebrity gossip mystery for Colleen and Bradley to solve. Here we go. This A-list daytime talk show host, who all of you know, even though it's a panel show, is being cheated on by her husband. Apparently, anti-lawyer says it's a big one. I don't know what the big one means.
Is it like a Sharon Osbourne?
Oh,
that's what I was thinking.
Good guess, but that's not that's not showing up in the comments section.
Who all of you know, even though it's a panel show, the only other panel show, of course, would be the View.
Yeah. So is it Meghan McCain?
Oh.
Ew. Awkward.
Meghan McCain over on The View allegedly is being cheated on by her husband. Anti-lawyer says this is a big one.
I want to know more what that means. This is a big one.
I have no idea.
Like the story is a big one?
Yeah. Or like the person who he's cheating on her with is like maybe a big celebrity or something?
Could very well be.
Yeah. I'm curious. That's Enty. Closed circuit conversation with Anti-lawyer. More details, please. Thank you.
Yeah, we'd like to know.
Be nice to reveal
Inquiring
that.
Minds. Do we have any more blind items we can tickle?
Yeah, sure.
Sounds good.
Blinded by the item.
Oh, let's go over to this blind item.
Oh, uh-oh.
Well, you know, sometimes we gotta...
Yeah, the blind items are what the blind items are.
That's right. Here we go. This A-minus list actress is not foreign-born, but everyone thinks she is. If this was a decade ago, she would have already won an Oscar after sleeping with the great disgraced producer. With that not possible, she's doing the next best thing. She is the new muse and mistress for the A-plus list director who will get her that Oscar.
Ooh.
So is the previous disgraced producer like a Harvey Weinstein? And we think she's...
Foreign-born, but she's not.
Yeah. She was actually born in the United States.
Where do we think... Do we think she was born in, like, Canada?
No.
So is this like a Hilaria Baldwin kind of, we think she was born somewhere else?
No. You know, I think actually she has lived in other countries. It's one of those things. It's kind of like Nicole Kidman, who we all think is born and raised in Australia. She actually is born in Honolulu, Hawaii. So she is an American citizen.
Oh, I did not know that.
Well, there you go. So it's kind of the same thing.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
So,
all right.
And then there's another person we can figure out at the end of this, which is somebody who can currently get her an Oscar.
Yeah.
Who do we think has the ability to get people Oscars?
Well, so this is a director that had a relationship with another actress who allegedly followed a similar career path as the one anti-lawyer lays out in this blind item. Not quite, no. And
Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay, so whoever this director is, Bradley Cooper. Just kidding. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So we have a lot to do right now.
Allegedly, supposedly, Jennifer Lawrence also had an affair with this director.
Exactly.
And this director pulled strings for her in very specific ways.
O. Russell.
Yeah.
Okay. But who's the actress?
Yes. She had a big hit on Netflix late last year. She starred in a program about chess.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That lady.
Gambit lady?
Yeah, what's her name, though? Not Anya.
Yeah.
It is Anya?
Mm-hmm.
Taylor something?
Yeah.
Anya Taylor Thomas? Ding, ding,
ding. That's a different show.
Joy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So. Yeah. Let me fill in the blank for you. So Anya Taylor Joy, actually born in Miami. If this was a decade ago, she probably already would have won an Oscar by doing some things with Harvey Weinstein. With that not possible, she's doing the next best thing. She is now the new muse and mistress for David O. Russell, who will get her that Oscar. She has just been cast
in an
upcoming David O. Russell major motion picture.
Mm-hmm. Let's just hope that's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love her. Okay. Thank you for taking us on that journey. We'll deal with our emotions. But when we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, you know, we like to watch things on the Colleen and Bradley show. And I started a new series that we are now, it's a mini series, mini docu-series that we are two episodes into.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I cannot wait to tell you what you need to be watching next. A little, here's what we're watching live after this on the Colleen and Bradley show on MyTalk 107.1. Thank you, Holly. This is the Colleen and Bradley show on MyTalk 107.1, streaming live at MyTalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Fabulous.
You know, I got something to talk about something I'm watching. It's a little. Here's what we're watching live.
You guys watch that television show together, don't you?
Team Cobra presents. Here's what we're watching live.
Okay, so I seem to recall, Bradley, have you been on a little bit of a true crime kick at all during the pandemic viewing, TV viewing?
I've certainly watched some true crimey things over the last year, for sure, and I've always loved a good true crime podcast.
Right, so I feel like a lot of people have been kind of digging into this true crime genre when it comes to like documentaries and things that we're watching, and I honestly don't know what it is about this particular time in life that we find ourselves in, but I'm constantly looking for another true crime thing to watch.
Yeah.
Well, here we are. We are watching a new true crime docuseries on Netflix called Cecil Hotel. It's called Crime Scene, The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel. Now, have you heard about this yet?
I've heard about the, I've heard this story before. This is the one I'm assuming about the lady that, like, isn't the, she disappears in a hotel. I'm not going to say where they find her, but they find her somewhere. And there's a big mystery as to, like, how she ended up there.
Yep.
And, like, there's some mysterious film footage that also factors into the story.
So here's the thing that's so interesting about this is I don't know about you, Bradley, but I remember us talking about this case when it happened.
Yeah.
Because we were...
It was very freaky.
It was super freaky. And I want to say that we were newly on the air when this happened, because it happened in, like, it happened about a decade ago. The actual story that of the woman who went missing. Mm-hmm. So as we're watching this docu-series, my husband is not familiar with the story, and in my mind, I think, well, everybody's familiar with the story because it was so present in my mind at the time that it happened, because there were such suspicious circumstances around it.
Yeah.
But what you remember of the story as it unfolded and the way that they tell it in this Netflix docuseries is very different. There's like more layers to it, obviously, because you get a better understanding too about the actual hotel that this happened in.
Well, I was going to say, if I remember correctly, there's also, and I know I've listened, there's a some podcast, true crime podcast episode, wherein you learn that there's some stories attached to the lore of the hotel as well.
Yeah, so the Cecil Hotel was actually built in the 1920s, just before the Great Depression. Like, it was, and it was like a marvel. It was like this beautiful hotel. It was situated very close to a major transit hub in downtown LA. Now, Holly, you know this from living in LA. Downtown LA is not necessarily like glitz and glamour.
Some parts of it,
yeah,
that is very true.
And this particular, the Cecil Hotel, is just but blocks away from the area known as Skid Row. But it is a place where people who were traveling maybe from other countries felt like they could, it was a cheap enough hotel that, and the pictures of it looked nice because the lobby is gorgeous. It's like it's a beautiful lobby.
Yeah.
It is a 700 room hotel. But the way it was zoned is that there are people who live there because they have really cheap rates. And so, and you don't, maybe you don't have to put down a deposit on it. So it's a residential hotel, but they were also trying to use it as a hotel for people who came to visit LA. And in the like early aughts, they were trying to transition it into like Best Western was going to like take it over and they were going to spruce it up and make it like a nice hotel.
Legitimate hotel, yeah.
But they couldn't do that because of the zoning. So there were the people who lived in there. I mean, we're talking like this was one of those, they didn't rent it by the hour, but the nightly rate was so low that, you know, people would use it to do all kinds of.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Like, you know.
Criminal stuff.
Criminal things. And, you know, you meet the manager of the hotel, and she is super bizarre. And all of this is being told to you, so it's like the Cecil Hotel is its own character in the story. But then you also have the story of this traveler, a 21-year-old woman from Canada who goes and stays at the Cecil Hotel, and she has like a Tumblr page, so she blogs about her life, and she's like this modern gal on the go, and she's gonna, you know, travel by herself, and she's staying at the Cecil Hotel, and you hear the whole story of how they found her and how that affected the people who were staying in the hotel at the time.
How many episodes is this?
Four.
Okay.
And we're two episodes in, but I wanted to also tell you one more quick thing, because I don't know if you watched, there was another true crime show on Netflix, and it was called Night Stalker. It was a true crime docuseries. I think this one was also four episodes, and it's about the...
Yeah, this is a new one, right?
This is a new one.
Yeah.
Yep, and this is about the 1980s serial killer who they ended up capturing. His name is Richard Ramirez.
Mm-hmm.
So we just watched that like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now we're in episode two of the Cecil Hotel docuseries. And wouldn't you know it, there's a crossover.
I was going to say, isn't there a connection between the Night Stalker and this hotel?
Correct.
Yeah.
He lived on the 14th floor of the Cecil Hotel for a period of time. And there's a piece that you don't get from the Night Stalker docuseries.
Mm-hmm.
That you do get in this Cecil Hotel, it's like a little Easter egg, about how he would return to the Cecil Hotel after doing these gruesome crimes that you learned about in the Night Stalker series, and how he would like undress and put his stuff in the dumpster outside the hotel and then walk into the hotel through the lobby to the elevator in his underwear.
Ugh.
And he was like, his whole body was blood soaked. Like, this is the kind of, and apparently all of this is very commonplace at the Cecil Hotel, at least at a time where, like, they were calling the police to the Cecil Hotel many times a day.
So this was a known bad
place.
Place.
Yeah, it's just a fascinating docuseries, and like I said, we're only two episodes in. But
so I mean, it's pretty low stakes, four episodes.
Oh, it's and so like an hour a piece.
That's not bad at all.
Super.
No, I'm
not bad
all
at
for
all.
True crime.
And you will, and there are there are characters in it that you will find yourself fascinated by. Like one of them is this manager. She ends up being the manager of the hotel, and you can just tell she's doing this interview because this is her moment.
Do you feel like they are going to have any sort of resolution to this particular case?
Well, so here's the funny thing is I don't remember how the case ends. I don't have that, and I'm not looking it up.
Yeah.
So I haven't gotten there yet. But yes, there's so much going on in this. You hear about the people who have online forums to talk about it.
Oh,
there's
sure.
So many characters.
What's the name again?
The Cecil Hotel. It's called Crime Scene, The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel.
Fabulous. Putting it on my queue.
What are you giving up for Lent? We're going to talk about that after